Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our 59th Executive Committee session. I'm very happy to see our colleagues, both new and common faces. And let me start by thanking God for keeping us healthy and strong, and for enabling us to meet today, and also ask for his blessings as we start this week and this session, and also as we continue next session, next week in our 30th Codex Alimentarius Commission. After this short prayer, may I take this opportunity to welcome Mr. Yossi M. Sumsi, I hope I've not. Assistant Director General FAO, to open the session for us on behalf of FAO. Mr. Sumsi, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson, Excellences, Mr. Chairperson, Vice Chairpersons, members and advisors, good morning, everybody. It's a pleasure to me attend for the first time this Executive Committee of Codex, that I think is a very important subsidiary body to prepare the sessions of the Commission and to support all the works of the Commission. I would like to welcome to the room and to FAO headquarters for this important 59th session of the Executive Committee of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. As one of the parent organizations of the Joint Food Standards Program and Codex, FAO has high expectations for the discussions and outcome of this session and at the Commission next week. Your role is essential in guiding Codex as a whole so that it continues to work efficiently and remains flexible to react to new challenges and needs of its members. The Executive Committee has to provide concrete and pragmatic recommendations to the forthcoming session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission on key issues facing Codex. We encourage all of you to provide unbiased guidance on the key matters to be addressed by the committee, including the following. The critical review function of the Executive Committee. This procedure was implemented in June 2004, and it is now the third time that you provide this essential guidance to the Commission and to its subsidiary committees regarding its work priorities in order to streamline Codex work and make the best use of available resources. At this session, you will look at the whole range of this still relatively new function, draft standards and related texts submitted for adoption, proposals for new work and discontinuation of work, and last but not least, monitoring progress and standards development. For the first time at this session, you will be able to make use of the criteria for these standards management, which you agree on at your 58th session and which were endorsed by the 29th session of the Commission. I urge you to exercise this critical review function fully and totally in an impartial manner for the benefit of the Commission and its entire membership, even if you are sometimes obliged to make hard decisions. The second is the strategic planning of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. The preparation of the strategic plan 2008-2013 is almost completed. All of you, and especially the initial drafting group composed of the chair and vice chairs of the Commission and the subsequent working group, have done an excellent job on the elaboration of this document, which will guide the strategic direction of COLEX through the next 6 years. Now, all the FAO and WHO coordinating committees have provided comments. You will have one last look at it before it goes to the Commission for adoption next week. From FAO, our sincere congratulations on a job well done. First, the implementation of the joint FAO-WHO evaluation, and especially the review of the COLEX committee structure and the mandates of COLEX committee and task force. As you all know, this exercise is extremely important for the future of COLEX. Due to the evolving nature of international food trade and food safety issues, COLEX must continue to enhance its emphasis on a horizontal approach rather than a vertical, commodity-oriented approach to food standards. Any new structure should consider the impact of the capacity of the COLEX members to effectively participate in the COLEX process, as well as the COLEX Secretariat to service the COLEX system. A set of proposals was made by the Secretariat last year. It has now been reviewed by the COLEX members and discussed at all coordinating committees. It is essential that you carefully look at the issues and give your valuable advice to the Commission for the decisions that are necessary. Four, applications for observer status. The Codex Alimentarius Commission is a global forum, as such, provides from the active participation of international non-governmental organizations. There is a high interest among the NGO community to participate in and to contribute to the Codex process. Rules have been set up to grant observer status, and it is another important function of your committee to review applications. Five, scientific advice. FAO and WHO continues to strive to respond to the needs expressed by the Codex Alimentarius Commission, both for the provision of scientific advice and for capacity building to assist members in meeting Codex standards. As regards scientific advice, we continue to receive more requests from various Codex committees that what can reasonably to be handled within the human and financial resources available to us. This is why prioritizations must be exercised to ensure that major and pressing issues do receive the necessary attention. The criteria that were provided by the Executive Committee to prioritize these requests have indeed been helpful and will continue to be used by FAO and WHO to ensure that available resources are best used to advance COLEX work. Six, capacity building. FAO is also continuing in its efforts to provide capacity building assistance to member countries related to COLEX by reinforcing the food chain approach to food safety and consumer protection to enable all consumers to access safe food. It assists countries in enhancing their capacities to organize and manage their food control systems, harmonize their food standards and regulations with the Codex Alimentarius, participate more effectively in the work of Codex Alimentarius Commission, integrate quality and safety assurance systems along the chain and exchange and disseminate information on food quality and safety. Coordination and collaboration between FAO and WHO food safety capacity building activities at national and regional levels was recommended by the 2002 Codex evaluation and by member countries. Greater effort will be done by headquarters and field staff in FAO and WHO to implement this recommendation. The last question is side events. A number of side events will be taking place during the forthcoming session of the Commission to consult with member countries on some of the issues that are of the interest to them, especially in regard to the follow-up to the series of regional conferences on food safety organized by FAO and WHO between 2002 and 2005, and the two global forums of food safety regulations held in 2002 and 2004. A display of FAO's activities in food safety and food quality will be available through the meeting in the atrium, and a small exhibition on Codex history has been set up in the FAO library. The side event will also include launching the FAO-WHO framework for the provision of scientific advice and presentation of the Global Initiative for Food Safety Advice. Let me finish in concluding this brief statement. I would like to reiterate the importance and priority that FAO governing bodies and FAO higher management have accorded and continue to accord to Codex and Codex-related work. This is clearly reflected in both the share of the FAO's contribution to the Codex budget, which has now reached 82%, and the amount of this contribution, which has increased at 38% between 2003 and 2004-05, as a result of the Codex evaluation and further increase in the current biennium. This has meant some decisions to reduce the resources for other activities of the Nutrition and Consumer Protection Division. While FAO will continue to strive to ensure adequate funding for Codex and Codex-related work in the years to come, we would like to see move a more equitable share of resources in an important joint program. FAO is also very attached to the continued primacy of the Codex Alimentarius Commission over decisions concerning Codex work priorities, strategic planning, and orientation. This is essential to ensure that Codex continues to be responsive to its membership through its governing structure. Well, you have a very full agenda before you, even more than normal, as you are now meeting after a one-year break. So I will close by wishing you a successful and productive 59th session of the Codex Executive Committee and a pleasant stay in Rome and at FAO. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sumpsi, and now I have the privilege to welcome Ms. Susan Webb-Mosdorf, Assistant Director General of WHO, to also give her opening statement. Please.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like, Mr. Chairman, dear colleagues from the Codex Secretariat, dear colleagues from FAO and sure, from WHO. I would like to welcome you on behalf of WHO to this very important executive committee meeting. I'm very happy or pleased to forward to you not only the greetings from the commitment from the Secretariat of WHO, but also from the highest body of WHO. Member states of WHO have just last month in Geneva expressed their continued interest in the support of the Codex system, of your Codex work. If we say system, it's your work you are doing. At the World Health Assembly, the new two-year budget 2008-2009 was approved, enabling us as Secretariat to maintain the increased funding level from WHO to the running of the Codex Secretariat functions. And with this backing, my colleagues in WHO and my colleagues in FAO will take forward the strategic alignment of Codex and of WHO and FAO strategic purposes, strategic objectives. And just yesterday, we have met in our managerial group, which has been established to bring forward Codex issues. And we have just discussed the necessity and the opportunity to better build capacities in the countries, which is a prerequisite for the implementation of the standard setting in your Codex work. Codex standards, guidelines, and Codex recommendations are viewed as the international consensus with regard to the safety of food and have been recognized by the World Trade Organization as the international reference for such matters. In this context, or in the context of increasing trade of food, the role of the health sector in the work of Codex has become even more important. Food safety has become more and more a global issue and a global concern. In many countries, including developing countries, consumers rank food safety as their first concern, even before environmental problems and infectious diseases. In addition, the lack of confidence in the safety and quality of the existing food supply contribute to consumer fears about the safety of new and emerging technologies being introduced in the production of food, such as irradiation and genetically modified crops. To establish and to re-establish consumer confidence, a clear signal that food safety is being taken as a serious public health matter must be given. A critical step is that food safety legislation needs to be perceived as transparent, science-based, and protective of consumers' health. In this regard, strengthening and ensuring public health considerations in the development of food regulations and standards must be seen as one of the keys to restoring consumer confidence in the safety of the food supply. Consequently, the work of the Horizontal Codex committees in particular is becoming increasingly important in contributing the development of standards aimed at improving the safety of the food supply while contributing to facilitate a fair trade in foods. At this year's Commission meeting, you will adopt the revised standard for infant formula. This, together with a draft revision of the relevant hygienic code, will provide a set of risk-based standards that will help ensure the safety of powdered infant formula. And you could read in the newspapers how huge the concern is in some developing countries on this issue. Thereby, with this new hygienic code, you will protect the health of some of the most vulnerable population groups, premature and underweight babies. To reach out to all involved in the preparation of infant formula, WHO, in collaboration with FAO, have also recently developed guidelines for the safe preparation, the safe storage, and the safe handling of infant formula. All this work has been based on new and innovative FAO-WHO risk assessments and has been finalized in less than 4 years. It is a good example of the type of work FAO, WHO and Codex together should increasingly be doing in the coming years to address microbiological risks in food. FAO and WHO are having a display at this year's Commission meeting to provide you with all the details of the powdered infant formula work. This example illustrates at the same time the increasing alignment of Codex work with public health policies requested by WHO World Health Assembly in the food safety area. Such alignment is especially requested to respond to the health risks posed by the ever-expanding globalization of food trade. The International Food Safety Authorities Network, InfoSan, which is implemented by WHO in cooperation with FAO, continue to disseminate regularly information on emerging food safety issues. The emergency component of InfoSan has over the last year expanded its activities and has now an established mechanism to collect, evaluate, and assess intelligent reports on food safety events across the planet. Thereby, it is able to disseminate urgent notifications concerning food-related health threats of international significance. InfoSan should also now be seen as an important element in support of member states in the implementation of the new WHO international health regulations. And you know that the new international health regulations came into force just 2 weeks ago. The IHR are designed to stop the international transmission of disease. The new IHR specifically include food-related events, foodborne disease outbreaks, and food contamination events, something that was not covered before. And rapid detection response to major food safety events will serve to reduce injury, illness, and mortality. The more transparent, the international community is dealing with food safety problems, food safety or food disease outbreaks, the more consumer confidence in food safety or in safe food will be promoted. To help this process, it is important that the existing 154 member states of Infosound are joined by the remaining few countries who are not yet members. We should have the full chain of transmission of information for the early detection and also for an effective response system. So we would like to ask the remaining countries to join this effective and already being in work, this effective network. I'm pleased to inform you that for this session of the Commission meeting, the FAO WHO Codex Trust Fund for Enhanced Participation provides support for the participation of 34 delegates from 34 countries, hopefully contributing to make it the best attended ever session of the Codex Alimentarius Commission. The fund will enable a more efficient application of Codex deliberations and projects in an increasing number of countries, and finally also contribute to an enhanced food safety system in the countries as well. Let me conclude by sending you the best wishes from our Director General, Dr. Margaret Chan. It gives me a great pleasure to welcome you to this important session of the Executive Committee, and I wish you a very fruitful meeting, and I wish you a very good stay here in Rome. You will have an important week in front of you. Have good and productive conclusions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Mosdorf, for your presentation. And as Executive Committee, we are very much encouraged by the recognition by our two parent organizations of the important role played by Codex. And we continue to request the two organizations, and of course through you representatives of WHO and FAO to the member governments of FAO and WHO to continue allocating enough resources to the Codex program. As you have all observed in your two presentations, the demand for the work of the Commission is ever increasing from the member governments themselves, and the resources we have within reach are not matching the demand. So we really request you, first of all, as principal and senior officers in the management of these two organizations, to continue giving emphasis to adequate allocation of resources to the Commission. And as Executive Committee, and of course as a Commission too, we'll try to work hard, first of all, to consider seriously the observations you have made in the two presentations, and also to be able to deliver what is expected of us by the member states. With those thanking remarks, I now wish to invite the Secretariat first for any general announcements. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everyone. I didn't explain the system of receivers, but I hope that by this time you have found how to handle the machinery and found the channel of the language of your choice. Let me explain to you the proposed timetable for the work of this week. Today we have started at 9:30. The morning session will continue until 1 p.m. with one coffee break between 11 o'clock and 11:30. The coffee will be served on the same floor, and I hope tea will be served as well. If you go out of this door and walk 10 meters towards building B, and there will be a perpendicular corridor that would join before a historical lift, and there is a small niche in front of the lift. The coffee will be served in that area. Because I'd like to draw your attention to one fact, that this meeting room is located on the second floor of the C building, and in front of the meeting room there are offices of Food and Consumer Protection Division, and people are working. So please make sure that you would not disturb the work of our colleagues during the coffee break. The afternoon session will start at 2:30 p.m., and will continue until 6 p.m. Again, there will be a coffee break at the midpoint of the afternoon session between 4 o'clock and 4:30. After the end of the afternoon session, we will organize a small welcome reception at the 8th floor of Building B. 8th floor of Building B, in the room called Indonesia Room. Tomorrow, the business will start at 9 o'clock. Half an hour earlier than today, and carry on until 12:30. There will be a coffee break, 30 minutes coffee break, in the middle of the morning business, and you will have 90 minutes lunch break, and you will start the afternoon business at 2 o'clock until 5:30. On Thursday, there will be no session in the afternoon, but in the morning, if the committee cannot conclude its business by Wednesday evening, there will be a morning session between 9 and 12:30. We have a relatively heavy agenda on the table, not least because the executive committee has not met since 1 year. There is a lot of work on the desk. So if there is a need to advance work outside the plenary, there may be a suggestion to be made by the chair. Well, it's up to the chairperson to evaluate such need. There may be a need for constituting a subgroup to work without interpretation over the evening. But we shall evaluate such need at a later stage. Finally, on Friday, the adoption of the report will start at 2:30 in the afternoon. The draft report will be available 1 hour before in 4 languages. So, Mr. Chairman, this is basically the program work, and I would be happy to answer any questions if there are any. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. And is there any observation from the room regarding the way we are going to manage our session this time? I see no observation, and maybe I can ask my colleagues if we feel like removing our jackets. Yeah, the chair has removed the jacket, so.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good.
So, again, let me invite the secretary to now start with our session agenda items. And we have agenda item 1, the adoption of the agenda. And let me invite the secretary to introduce the agenda. Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The relevant document is CX/EXEC 07/59/1 Rev 1, Revision 1. The revision document is basically identical to the original document, except that several documents have been added, namely containing late received comments, added to the original provisional agenda. So basically, the revision document shows the same agenda, provisional agenda. Mr. Chairman, for the time being, the Secretariat has not received any request for inclusion of additional item in the provisional agenda. There are certain items that would demand more attention of this committee than the others, namely the item number 2, critical review. This is a unique function of this committee. Item 3, strategic planning, is also a function that is explicitly stated in the procedural manual. This committee may also wish to give a particular attention to item 6.b, review of Codex Committee structure and mandates, and item 8b, the assessment of applications received from applicant international non-governmental organization for observer status in Codex, which is also a unique agenda item for this particular committee. Of course, although other items will be discussed by Commission too, this committee may wish to debate and provide useful guidance to the Commission as long as time allows. Mr. Chairman, there is one proposal from the Secretariat to add one sub-item on Agenda Item 11, Other Business. The amendments to the procedural manual will normally be handled exclusively by the Commission, because only the Commission has the power to amend the text in the procedural manual. And usually such proposals are channeled through the General Principles Committee. However, this year in particular, there are a few committees that met after the April session of the General Principles Committee, and they have made some suggestions to amend text in the procedural manual. Therefore, the Secretariat is of the view that this committee could usefully look at those recommendations for the amendments of the procedural manual that are not that have not been reviewed by the Executive General Principles Committee. These proposals correspond to Appendix 11 through Appendix 15 of Document Alinom 07/30/4, which contains the all the proposals for the amendment of procedural manual. Therefore, the Secretariat would propose, if the committee so agrees, to add this item under other business. And Mr. Chairman, you may wish to seek any views or any requests for addition of items under other business or any change being made to the provisional agenda. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And may I open this agenda item? And I ask if there is any suggestion as to amendment or as to addition to our agenda item. Seeing none, can I also ask the committee to agree with the Secretariat's suggestion, that is to add under any other business the agenda item he has mentioned, that is consideration of the recommendations on the amendment in the procedural manual as contained in appendices 11 to 15 of Alnom 07/30/4. Seeing no objection, then that addition is accepted. And the agenda item, the agenda is therefore adopted. Thank you very much. Can we then continue to the next agenda item? That's agenda item 2. And if we start with agenda item 2A, can I also invite the secretary to introduce the agenda item, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Agenda item 2A refers to the critical review of the text that have been advanced to either step 5 for preliminary adoption or for final adoption at step 8 or step 5A. And the Secretariat has undertaken to review those documents for consistency with other documents, the correctness of terminology, and whether all endorsements have been received by committees concerned. Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I'd like to invite Ms. Selma Doiwan to introduce relevant documents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning to everybody. As you can see, there are three parts. And at the last session of the Executive Committee or previous session, it had been decided that the Executive Committee meeting prior to the Commission would discuss texts for adoption, and the session held between the sessions would discuss the monitoring progress. But as you can see, since we have not met since June of 2006, there are now both items for consideration. So as regards the standards for adoption, there are two parts in the document. The first part is on documents at step 8 or step 5 and 8 or for final adoption, and the second part on step 5. And we used the format which was agreed by the Executive Committee at previous sessions, but we have with some amendments. For example, as you can see on the time frame, since the critical review has been applied only for a few years, when there is no job identification, we indicated the year where the work was initiated or approved as new work. Then, of course, the year, the target year when it exists. And otherwise, it may be in the note or sometime it may not be specified. And also the output codes of the strategic plan. As regards provision of scientific advice, not only when there is a request for scientific advice, but when there has been scientific advice, as you can see, reference to evaluation by JECFA or other expert consultations. There are no explanatory notes in all cases, because in some cases there are no specific remarks to make. And also, we also would like to apologize, because this document came late, which was due to the fact that committees had their meetings until middle of May, and there was not so much time to prepare it. And also for this reason, it could not be translated. So we would suggest to go committee by committee, and starting with part one, the first on the list is the Committee on Contaminants in Foods, which has two standard and a level and a code. There was reference to the JECFA evaluation, and as regards the first one during the committee, because here we look only at the critical review aspects and not whether there is a consensus, but sometimes we also indicate if there is some problem of consensus. So in that case, it was agreed by consensus. There are a few reservations as regards the first one, and entirely no problem of consensus regarding the second, the code for adoption. So I don't know if we can, Mr. Chairman, stop after each of the committees concerned and ask for advice.
Thank you, Salma, and I hope we are all having the document that is CX/07/59/2, and I would really ask that we concentrate on the criteria for critical review and try to resist going into specific comments on the content of the draft standards. And hopefully we should be able to recommend adoption as we go down the different proposals. And Salma already started with the proposals from Codex Committee on Contaminants in Foods. And the first one is draft maximum level 14 in canned foods and other beverages, and in canned beverages. It's been proposed for adoption at step 8. Is there any objection why, as the executive committee, we shouldn't recommend to the commission to adopt this standard at, this text at step 8? Member from Europe?
Oui, merci, Monsieur le Président. Monsieur le Président, comme vous le savez, ces questions relatives à la fixation du niveau d'étain dans diverses denrées alimentaires et dans les boissons a fait déjà l'objet de très nombreuses discussions depuis de très nombreuses années. Discussions qui ont d'ailleurs été très controversées. Je voudrais vous signaler qu'en ce qui concerne au niveau de l'Europe et plus spécifiquement de la communauté européenne, nous avons toujours des difficultés avec les niveaux qui sont proposés et plus spécifiquement avec les problèmes de toxicité aiguë de l'étain. Je voulais vous en informer de cette réserve, en tout le moins de l'Union européenne, réserve qui n'ira cependant pas jusqu'à vouloir s'opposer à l'adoption de la norme. Mais l'Union européenne demandera certainement au moins une indication d'une réserve dans le rapport. Et je voulais vous en informer.
Thank you, member from Europe, and we shall note the reservation. Any other observation on this document? Seeing none, then the Executive Committee shall recommend to the Commission to adopt this text at step 8, and we can also note of the reservation by EU. Thank you very much. Can we go to the next one? Proposed draft code of practice for the prevention and reduction of aflatoxin A contamination in wine. Any observations as to why we shouldn't recommend to the Commission for adoption of this text? Seeing none, then we recommend to the Commission to adopt this text at step 8.
Salma, can we go to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the Committee on Food Additives, the important element of the critical review we have taken into account is the consistency with the decisions of the Commission and existing Codex text. Also, I would like to draw your attention to the CRD, CRD number one, which includes the comments of chairs of Codex committees, which we have solicited on this critical review, and as regards the part one on text at step 8, there are the comments related to food additives and comments on inspection and certification systems committee. As regards additive, on the first line, this is related to the additive provisions, and then you should look at Annex 1, which recalls the recommendations of the Commission. As you recall, last year there were extensive discussions related to how to proceed with the additives provisions in relation to the changes, the amendment, ongoing work on the general standard for food additives in relation to the standards, the existing standards. And there was one of the recommendations related to additives for when additives for inclusion into the general standard result in amendments to additive provisions in Codex standards, consequential amendments should be made to the relevant standards. And it should be included in the CCFAC. Well, perhaps CCFAC cannot always do it for practical reasons, but it's also our role to take this into account. So we have prepared the table, which indicates, especially there are a lot on sweeteners and also on some other additives, according to the food category covered and to the standard covered by the categories. So several of them relate to sweeteners, and then we have indicated the category, the standard covered, and the current level. And as you can see in several cases, these additives, which were not perhaps discussed at the time, are not currently allowed, or some of the additives are allowed with different levels. So the question was whether there is a need for a consequential amendment. Some of the standards correspond to committees which have been adjourned. For example, we'll take perhaps the simpler one, which is Note 3. Standards for cocoa products and chocolate already include additive levels of sweeteners, and some additional sweeteners are proposed, which would require simple consequential amendments. This is the same for, if you look at the end of note 2, on standards for soup, the standards for soups and broth, which have a general statement on sweeteners, and but that would be for use with GMP. Since all of them have specific level, it would be also necessary to have consequential amendment. Then there are two other cases of, one is consequential amendment that would be required, for example, use of sweeteners in all the standards for canned fish, where currently, of course, it is not allowed. That had never been discussed in the committee. In that case, there is an active committee, but also if that, because the recommendation of the Commission indicated that the Committee on Additives and Contaminants may ask the advice of a relevant committee, but that's not always necessary. But in any case, in order to ensure consistency, there would be a need for amendment to the relevant standards. The last case really refers to jams and jellies, where currently there are a lot of sweeteners which are proposed. However, this standard is now under revision, and as indicated in note 1. And in that case, the standard does not cover the products where sweeteners have been added, so there would be perhaps a need for clarification. And since this would affect a standard which is still under revision, there may be perhaps a need to refer it to the committee concerned. So at this stage, perhaps we can stop, Mr. Chairman, and see what are the comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Salma, and I wish to draw the attention of the committee to CRD 1 and also to Annex 1 to the document, Alnom CX/EXEC 07/59/2.
And there are quite a number of consequential amendments being proposed, very much in line to what the Commission had agreed. And if we first start by Salma, if we can just go through the list one by one, that would be helpful. If we go to the annex and go down the list one by one, okay, member from North America, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Given that we do have a conference room document that perhaps makes reference to the broader issue around the food additives that are under consideration, I wonder if I could ask the advisor to North America to perhaps make some comments on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Deborah. The issue before us, we believe, is very complex. The Commission at the 29th session instructed the Committee on Food Additives to work on the general standard for food additives and to consider consequential amendments in commodity standards so that there was consistency with the general food standard on food additives. We, however, believe that there was no instruction that the commodity standards be amended immediately. The integration of food additive provisions from commodity standards into the general standard for food additives is very complex and is compounded by a number of factors. Primarily, there is variability in the relationship of the food categories in the general standard for food additives and the commodity standards themselves. Each of these standards must be carefully considered individually. However, Mr. Chairman, we believe that the current workload of the Committee on Food Additives is such that that committee cannot simultaneously address both tasks. We agree that the consequential amendments must be made to commodity standards, but we believe that the Food Additive Committee must prioritize its work. Therefore, Mr. Chairman, we believe that the Executive Committee should not consider amendments to the standards as put forward in Annex 1. We further believe that the Executive Committee should instruct the Commission or should request the Commission to instruct the Food Additive Committee to set the completion of the general standard on food additives as its highest priority and then instruct that committee to move expeditiously to consider all of the commodity standards in a systematic way to remove any inconsistencies between the general standard and commodity standards. Mr. Chairman, we recognize that there will be inconsistencies between the commodity standards and the GSFA, but those are only temporary and must be approached in a systematic way. Along those lines, Mr. Chairman, we also note that Conference Room Document 1, the chair of the Codex Committee on Food Additives, recognizes this problem as well and sees the amendments as being only an intermediate solution. So we would request that we not consider these consequential amendments, but refer them directly to the Committee on Food Additives and to the involved commodity standards where those committees are still active. Thank you.
Thank you, Advisor from North America. And it's a proposal to the floor that we don't consider Annex 1, the amendment as proposed in Annex 1, but rather ask the Commission to ask the Committee on Food Additives to handle the subject matter.
Any other comment from the floor? Seeing none. Member from Southwest Pacific.
Thank you, Chair. Just briefly to acknowledge the comments made in CRD 1 on this issue. And I think for the reasons explained in that document, and also for the reasons I think that for the Executive Committee to consider these recommendations set out in Annex 1, I think it, because of the technicalities of the issues, it is preferable from our point of view to refer this issue to CCFA for detailed considerations and make specific recommendations for consideration by the Executive Committee. So I think the points and the recommendations made in CRD 1 make sense from our point of view. Thank you.
Thank you, Member from Southwest Pacific. Any other observation? Salma, can I ask for your comments on the proposal on table by U.S. and almost somehow supported by Southwest Pacific?
Mr. Chairman, yes, it's up to the committee, so we will make this recommendation. That was, of course, we had done that to draw the attention to potential differences, but of course, that's up to the committee. And in any case, as also what we usually do is also that we draw the attention to the commodity committees when they are still active, or other committees which deal with have some proposals on additives, to what is ongoing in the general standard for additives, so they get this information. That was just to draw the attention. So I think we will put this recommendation. I think it's also in the CRD we just had, and as was mentioned by North America and supported by other delegations. So we will put it as a recommendation to the Commission, if everybody agrees. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Europe coordinator for Europe, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. We would agree to what has been proposed. We would just like to highlight the fact that the role of the coordinating of the commodity committees as regards the food additives which are necessary for the production of those various products, I think this role for us is very important, because the commodity committees take into account the technological justification for the use of the food additives. So we believe that this role should be maintained, and that if food additives are agreed upon by the Codex Committee on Food Additives, that still the commodity committees should look at the technological justification for their use in the particular products. Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Europe. And I think we are in agreement almost that the recommendations in Annex 1 should be forwarded to, we should advise the Commission to forward this to the Codex Committee on Food Additives for consideration with a view of coming up with specific recommendations. And we are also recommending that food additives being discussed should also be, the commodity committees should also be informed and also asked to comment on the technological justification of food additive being discussed in the Food Additives Committee. Would that be a good summary for the discussion we've had? Wim, I see you're not very comfortable.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I'm a little bit puzzled, being certainly not an expert in the area of additives. My understanding of the discussion where we had a carefully prepared proposal by the Codex Secretariat as contained in Annex 1 of our CX exec document 07592, but we have also now the CRD with the well-written observations by the chair included in document CRD 1 and the views expressed by the United States, which are contained in document 07, that my understanding is of what we should decide is that we do not follow the proposals as contained in the Annex 1, but that we instead, as Executive Committee, in fact, could advise or recommend to Commission what is summarized on page 3 of CRD 07, the three bullet points. I guess that summarized, I guess, quite well what we just heard and were there, in my understanding, was agreement in the committee that we should leave it primarily in the hands of the Additives Committee, that we accept on a temporary basis some inconsistencies between them, the global standard for food additives, and the provisions in individual commodity standards, and that only after that these inconsistencies should be fleshed out. And I agree what just has been said by the coordinator for Europe, or of course in the finalization you need the input from the experts which are also working in the commodity committees. So, Mr. Chairman, I think that the decision should be from the Executive Committee. We had a discussion and we agreed upon the three bullet points as contained on page 3 in CRD 07. That should be forwarded to the Commission with a few additional observations of consistencies and on a temporary basis, and how these should be fleshed out in a consequential manner. So this is my understanding, but the matter is complicated. But this is what I guess, given also the silence in the room, silence means agreement, we should decide and should forward to the committee. And in that regard, I guess we can literally pencil in the three bullet points in our report for sake of clarity. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Wim. And Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having listening to the interventions, to the observation of the Secretariat, the conclusion of this committee could be as follows, and of course it's open to the further debate if necessary. First, the Executive Committee recommends that the consequential amendments to the commodity standards mentioned in Annex 1 be postponed at a later date. And secondly, the Executive Committee consequently accepts that certain inconsistencies between the GSFA and certain commodity standards will arise, be it on a temporary basis. And number three, the Executive Committee recommends that the Commission refers the issues enumerated in Annex 1 of the document be referred to the Food Additives Committee and ask Food Additives Committee to request the views of commodity committees, particularly active commodity committees, on these matters as appropriate. And I forgot number 4 or number 5. Request the Food Additives Committee to give highest priority to the conclusion or completion of the GSFA with a view to subsequently consider and address the issues of inconsistency between GSFA and commodity standards. And I think that is the matter that address on this particular item. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, and I hope we can live by the Secretary proposal. Member from Europe, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Prie de, peut-être de nos excuser, nous avons peut-être été un peu lents à réfléchir, mais nous avons été, nous avons reçu deux documents de séance qu'il a fallu lire en séance, et tout en réfléchissant à ce qui se disait dans la salle, ce qui n'est pas toujours très facile à faire, surtout par cette chaleur. Cela étant dit, Monsieur le Président, je pense que nous pouvons tout à fait suivre les conclusions que vient de tirer le secrétariat de l'échange de vues que nous venons d'avoir aujourd'hui, et je pense que le résumé concis et clair du secrétariat nous a aussi éclairé les idées et nous a permis de mieux comprendre le problème. Je crois que nous pouvons suivre la proposition du secrétariat. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, member from Europe and a member from North America. You are supporting too?
And just to note, perhaps, just to thank our Vice Chair and the Secretariat for putting some clarity around those bullets. It's very early in the morning for we North Americans.
So I think we then summarize as it has been put to us by the Secretariat. Member from Africa, please.
Thank you, Chair. And I think we go along with the summary of the Secretariat, but we would like to find out if there's no possibility of having some date set out in terms of priority, because they just say that CCFA should put that as a matter of priority. We know sometimes what is priority here, that we have long delays in executing our task. So is there a possibility to try to think of possible dates for consideration? Thank you.
Thank you, member from Africa. And, well, we know the Committee on Food Additives has a very heavy agenda and, items to be discussed. And I'm not very comfortable to be able to tell them exactly when, but I hope they'll be responsible enough to take the recommendation from the Commission seriously that we want them to put priority on the consequential amendments to the General Standard for the Additives. So, Secretary, would you remember again what you say? So that we put it properly. Okay? So we want it finally, and that will be our recording on this item. Okay? Secretary?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We're having duly noted the intervention from the member from Africa. I think the Executive Committee can reaffirm that it recommends through the Commission to the Committee on Food Additives to give highest priority. What time frame exactly? Probably the views diverge between different members. Most optimistic members may say 2-3 years, others may say 5-6 years, and unfortunately we don't have the privilege to have the chairperson of the Food Additives Committee in this particular meeting. So probably we could leave that point open and request the views from the China, which has the presidency of this particular committee in the Commission next week. Thank you.
secretary, and therefore we conclude our discussion on this. Can we go to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There are two other items on food additives, but this is ongoing work on the amendments to INS and to the specifications, which are based on the JECFA work. So this was ongoing work, and there was no specific remarks on that. So we go to the next committee, which is Committee on Fish and Fishery Products. There are two parts. There is some sections of the Code of Practice. The Code of Practice has been developed as ongoing work because it was putting together a number of existing codes and adding some other codes. So this is the now is the adoption at proposed for adoption at step 5.8 of two sections in the code. Two other sections are at step 5, and there is the last one which is still under discussion, so that's work which is ongoing, and there was no it was consensus, there was no specific problems. The second item is something which has been very long on the agenda of the committee and also came several times to the commission. This is the amendment to canned sardines, and after a lot of discussion, as you are all aware, there was no consensus for several years, but finally there was an agreement in the committee. There is which allows the addition of this additional species. And then there was also a slight amendment to the labelling section, which was sent to the Committee on Labelling and which was endorsed. So now there is a consensus on this issue, which has taken quite a long time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Salma, and can I open it to the floor now? Any comments on the two proposed standards? Member from Latin American Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. No, es en realidad una consulta en relación a los otros dos temas del Comité de Aditivos Alimentarios. Supongo que como fue tan interesante la discusión sobre las modificaciones a la norma general de aditivos alimentarios, ya no tuvimos una discusión expresa sobre los otros dos. Puedo suponer que entonces estamos de acuerdo en sugerir a la comisión que se adopten.
Thank you, member from Latin America and Caribbean. And Salma mentioned there were two other points that were proposed to be adopted as step 5.8, and he mentioned them, and maybe we just went through very quickly, but may I open these two texts to the floor if there are any comments? Coordinator for Latin American Caribbean, are you on these two points of food additives? No. Then can I finish? Then should we then take it that the Executive Committee will recommend to the Commission to adopt these two texts at step 5.8. Okay. Thank you for drawing to our attention, member from Latin America and Caribbean. Then can we go to the other committee? That is the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products, and there are two proposed texts there. And coordinator from Latin America, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad, lo que quisiera es si resulta posible que cuando se presente a la comisión el tema de la propuesta de modificación del estándar sobre las sardinas, se dé algún tipo de explicación de en base a qué criterio se llegó a un acuerdo para la inclusión de una nueva especie, habida cuenta de que uno de los temas que se van a discutir sobre nuevos trabajos es la inclusión de nuevas especies en los estándares de pescado. Entonces quisiéramos tener más información sobre este punto. Gracias.
Thank you. Thank you, Coordinator from Latin America and Caribbean. And Selma, you want to comment on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Of course, we can put the background because we have an existing procedure for the inclusion of species, and this was applied for the inclusion of this particular species. But another work is the general proposal, and which came from the committee on the revision on the on the revision of the procedure for the inclusion of species, which would be as new work, and was discussed in the committee because this procedure is dates back from 1989, and there was a proposal to update it, which was in the committee. So, of course, in the we will put also in the background. I'm not sure if it was for here or for the commission, but we can recall, of course, that in this case, of course, the procedure for the inclusion of species, the current procedure had been applied, but then after that there was lack of consensus on the inclusion of this species, and after further discussion the committee agreed that it would be allowed for inclusion in the list of sardine type products in conjunction with an amendment to the labeling section to clarify what can be used for the name of the product, to clarify this. And with this amendment there was consensus, and then so we'll refer to the existing procedure, and then, of course, when we came to new work, we will indicate, which is a separate issue, although sometimes it was discussed in the same area, but that there is a proposal to amend the existing procedure because we have an existing procedure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Selma. And I was also privileged to attend the last committee meeting on fish and fishery products, and there was quite a lot of discussion on this, and the Commission will have the opportunity to read the report from this Commission of the different discussions and the agreements which were reached, and there were also working groups, group meeting held, chaired by a very abled lady from Canada. I think they called her Iron Lady then, who managed to really handle the two, groups that were not in agreement to the point that they agreed. So we are very thankful. And I remember the chairman in the commission, in the committee, said, the chair of the commission is here, so we have to agree. And I'm very happy that some agreement was made. Thank you. So, are there any other observations? And is there any objection as to why we shouldn't recommend to the Commission to adopt these two texts from the Committee on Fish and Fishery Products at step 5.8 and 5A? Seeing none, then the texts are adopted. We recommend the adoption of these texts at step 5.8 and step 5A. Can we go to the next committee, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the Committee on Fresh Fruits and Vegetables, there is only one standard, table grapes, but one part had been held at step 8, and now the rest of the provisions have been sent to step 5 and 8, and there was something which was omitted in the last column. We would just like to confirm that the labelling provisions had been endorsed by the Committee on Food Labelling, but that had been the previous session. So as regards endorsement and consensus in the committee, it is there is no specific remark. Thank you.
Selma, and is there an objection from the floor as to why we shouldn't recommend the Commission for adoption of this text at step 8 and at step 5.8 as recommended? Member from Latin America and Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Ciertamente no una objeción, por el contrario, un apoyo a su adopción expreso por parte de la región de América Latina y el Caribe. Y como presidente de este comité en particular, un comentario, porque tuvimos varias discusiones interesantes que por eso llevaron el tiempo que ha sido necesario para finalizar esta norma. Entre otras, la relación con los derechos de propiedad intelectual de algunas marcas registradas en las variedades de uva que finalmente pudimos eludir gracias a la búsqueda de consensos dentro del comité y a la eliminación de una distinción entre las uvas de baya grande y las uvas de baya pequeña, lo cual también nos llevó a tomar el peso mínimo de los racimos, tomando el mínimo de las uvas de baya pequeña. Entonces, en realidad ha habido muchos compromisos que se han dado para llegar a la feliz conclusión de esta norma. Entonces, esperamos verla adoptada en esta ocasión. Todos estos comentarios, simplemente por señalar que podrían haber quedado en la columna del extremo derecho de la historia de esta norma. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, member from Latin America and the Caribbean, for that very good information. And we hope the other committees should also work equally hard to try to resolve issues at the committee level before they come to executive committee and even to the commission. So can we then adopt the text at step 8 and step 5-8 can we recommend to the commission then to adopt the text at step 8 and step 5-8 as it has been proposed here? Thank you very much. Then can we go to the next committee on food hygiene?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you see, the Committee on Food Hygiene has a number of texts for adoption. They're all on very important food safety issue. One was the revision of the Code of Hygienic Practice for Eggs and Egg Products, which was finalized. And the code includes an annex on microbiological criteria, which is held at step 4, but the main body of the code is at step 8. Since it included some labeling provisions, it was considered by the Committee on Food Labeling and it was endorsed. Regarding the second text on the application of general principles of food hygiene to the control of Listeria monocytogenes, I just would like to add something which was not in the column on scientific advice, but my colleague from FAO and GEMRA indicated that GEMRA advice on Listeria was used in the preparation of this general principle, so it was based on the work of GEMRA in this area as well. The establishment of microbiological criteria for Listeria in ready-to-eat foods is considered separately. It's another section of step 2 and 3. And also that there are some labeling provisions in these guidelines. They were considered and endorsed by the Committee on Food Labeling. And the last part is the draft principles and guidelines on conduct of microbiological risk management, which is a very complex text and which has taken some years because it was a very important area. But there are already, of course, as you all know, guidelines on the conduct of microbiological risk assessment. And now with this text, that's a very important text which will be proposed for adoption. And there is some ongoing work on the annex on the application of food safety metrics in risk management decision making, which is still a step 4. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Salma, and I note we have the privilege of having the chair of the committee with us. Okay. And could you please confirm the proposals as detailed here? Vice Chair Karen, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, as the Secretariat has described, this work has moved, certainly for egg products, with, I think, admirable efficiency through the committee. Listeria has taken somewhat longer time, and as has the microbial risk management document, but they've both dealt with very complicated matters. I would also like to give credit to FAO and WHO for the work done in provision of scientific advice that was also used in development of the egg code. It was quite useful to the committee for development of the egg code, and food hygiene is increasingly developing risk-based approaches that are founded in the risk assessments provided for us by GEMRA. It is not always easy to do this, but it is important that we continue to do this. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Vice Chair Karen. And I think the Executive Committee will note the recognition of the scientific advice provided in this case. And we appreciate the support from FAO and WHO. And can I ask the committee if there's an objection as to why we shouldn't recommend to the commission to adopt these three documents as step eight. Seeing none, member from Africa, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The for the draft code of eggs, the comment which is made there is that labeling provision is endorsed by CCFL. Is that what the European Community is proposing, or what? Because some clarification can be given on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Member from Africa. I see. The information there is that labeling provisions have been endorsed. It's not being proposed that we seek for endorsement. They have been endorsed. So maybe I missed the question. Salma, please, can you come in here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The fact is that in this code there are some labeling provisions which relate to how the product should be used. It is related to safety of use of the product, and this was why. Of course, normally labeling provisions are mostly in standards, and that's when they are sent for endorsement. But in this case, there were some labeling provisions. The advice of the Committee on Labeling was sought, and the Committee on Labeling looked at the provisions which are related to how to use the product and in order to give information to consumers on in order to ensure the safety of the product at all stages. And that was why there were some labeling provisions, which is not very often the case, but it's the case in some codes of hygienic practice or guidelines related to hygiene. And this was why it went to the Committee on Labeling, and it was endorsed by the Committee on Labeling. I'm not sure if it's the clarification you need. Thank you.
Thank you, Salma, and I see a member from Africa is comfortable. Then the Executive Committee will recommend to the Commission to adopt the three drafts at step eight as it has been proposed here. And with this, then, can we break for coffee? I think it's time for coffee. Healthy stretch. And
we shall come back at 11:30.
So we come back at 11:30, please. Healthy stretch.